Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how excited are you about the cards you were born to? Cards you were born to play? Are you playing them happily? Well, let's try to do better at that. And to help us enjoy our cards and appreciate them and appreciate the cards of others, with the whole gamut of what they mean in our lives and challenges they have, which are really beneficial to us on our soul path. And to help us understand more and more about our cards is our card expert, who's been on the show many times. So glad he's back with us, Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I'm so excited to talk more about the ways the cards interact with each other, because we're all born into a hand of cards, and we each have a birth card and a personality card that are kind of primary and stand out. And sometimes we just look at each of them. Sometimes they're the same card, but if they're different cards, you know, we can, maybe our minds can't really figure out how to fit them together better. And so this is something we've been doing a couple of shows already.
That's one potential problem, is how to put them together. The other potential problem is that one crowds out the other one.
I haven't thought of that before.
It can be often the case. I know it was for me. So the birth card is the primary pattern of life. That's the primary gift we're here to give. It's the primary life purpose we're here to live, or that our soul came in to live. And then there's the persona, which is indicated by the ruling planet of the astrological sign we're born into. That's our secondary pattern. And sometimes we get over-identified with that secondary pattern, and we forget about that primary purpose we're here to live.
That's fascinating, because I agree that that second card seems to dominate in so many ways.
Yeah.
And then, so I think that's why I'm excited for you to show us how these cards fit together better, so we can integrate them rather than they compete with each other.
Well, right. And so the first thing that I'm usually telling people is, you want to focus as much as possible primarily on your birth card as your primary purpose, your primary gift that you're here to give. And then whatever is your personality card, that's going to be the way that you give it. It's going to be how you express your gift. It's going to be how you live out your life's purpose, so that they can go together very nicely that way.
And let's say right off that people can find out both their cards when they go to your website, thesourcecards.com.
Sourcecards.com. There's a free lookup right on the homepage to look up these two primary cards in your life.
Great. You know, it's what a benefit it is for people to find that out. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've talked to many people who are so excited after they've been to your website.
Well, thank you. I hope so. We've started a nonprofit organization, which I may have shared many times on your show, to give this knowledge away, because I want everybody to have this information.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. From all of us.
You're welcome. So where would you like to start? Are there two specific combinations you want to get into?
And there are. I was talking to someone recently who had a five of clubs and a three of diamonds together. The five of clubs was the birth card.
Well, so based on what we were just saying, having that three of diamonds as their personality, as their overlay, that means that their personality is the pragmatic diamond energy. And it can, you know, whatever we want to value in life, whether that's money or health, fame, fortune, whatever we would value, what matters to us, the diamond energy. And the three, as you know, that can go sideways and up and down. So it can be a chaotic energy, financial anxiety and worries. But then underneath, because, well, the three is already a flip-flopping kind of sideways up and down energy, but then the five is a spinning energy. So the mind can be spinning a lot, and that can create a lot of nervous energy for people playing a five of clubs and a three of diamonds. All the ways in which their mind can spin out about, you know, worrying about their finances or their health.
Right. And the five of clubs, clubs are the mind, and the five is unsatisfied.
Can be very unsatisfied.
Yeah.
Now, on the other in the other end of the spectrum, the five of clubs, three of diamonds can be a very powerfully creative energy when they're engaging with their mental energy towards the creation of something that they value. It can be a wonderfully creative energy.
Yeah, but so that's I want to put a positive spin on it, of course. And so what it is, it's a challenge set of cards to for change.
It is. And all the odd numbered energy patterns are unstable. The evens are stable. And it's not better or worse, because the stable structured energy of the even numbers can mean being more stuck or more rigid or inflexible. The odd numbers are more dynamic, but at the same time, they're more chaotic and more unstable. So whenever you see someone with two uneven energies, odd energies, that's what I'm trying to say, like a five and a three, that person can be doubly unstable, doubly chaotic.
Oh, that's fascinating to know. But it's a challenge. It's the challenge really is about managing a life of that. But our souls have chosen it.
Well, that's right. And so the five energy is an out-of-the-box energy. So they're always going to be thinking out of the box. And then the three energy is a go-your-own-way energy. So they really need to create their own way in life. And that can be challenging, but it's also an adventure at the same time.
Yeah. I guess if we're in relationships, we want to be in relationships. If we're odd numbers, we want to be in a relationship with someone with even numbers.
It sometimes works that way to our advantage, and that, you know, to balance, like one person in the relationship is the catalyst, the other is the stable one. That could be a good dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an even number in my birth card, so I'm probably a very boring person.
Then you have that Jack of Spades personality, and your consciousness, your imagination, your vision is everywhere.
Yeah, so that stirs the pot. Are Jacks an odd number or an even number?
They're both, because it's an 11. So it's an 11, which is odd, but then the 1 and the 1 reduces to a 2. So it's both odd and even simultaneously.
Wow. Lucky me. Anyone with a Jack.
It's a generative energy. And so interestingly enough, the 11 is representative of Metatron's cube. Metatron's cube is the sacred geometric form that balances the masculine and the feminine together.
Oh, that's a gift.
Well, this is the Jack energy, that you have this balance of masculine and feminine. It's how you have so much generative, creative energy.
Wow. Thank you. And so I want to ask you about someone who I'll be talking with soon, who I know is an Eight of Hearts, but I don't remember what her personality card is. You might know the different cards that go along, the personality cards that go along with the Eight.
This was the person who we were just speaking about. I think it wasn't her personality, the Six of Spades.
She might be an Eight of Hearts with the Six of Spades.
Might be. Yeah. Well, so anyone born with an Eight of Hearts energy as their primary energy, they have a lot of heart power, because the eight is the infinity symbol and the heart is the heart energy. And the infinity symbol is representative of boundless, endless energy. So In hearts, they just have so much energy of love and healing, passion, music, food, drink, sex. There's a lot of passion there.
Yeah, this person is very passionate.
A lot of passion.
Yeah. I it's amazing when you meet people who are just living passionately.
Well, and so it sounds like this person is, quote unquote, playing their cards right. Because what often happens, and I've seen this in my practice, someone has a birth card that's a heart card, and they have another different suited card as their persona. It covers up their birth card. They may not know how to fully express their heart energy because they may keep their heart covered up. And a famous example of this, and I did the video about this at the time, is Hillary Clinton, the former presidential candidate. She's born to play a heart card, the Nine of Hearts. But her persona, the Queen of Spades, is that aloof, stoic, feminine energy, Queen of Spades. And the knock on her was always that she was not being authentic or not really showing herself. And that was true, because the real quote unquote her, the essence of her, the primary way that she would have been born to play and live out her purpose in this life is a heart card. And she didn't show that. She didn't really express her feelings and wasn't really emotionally connecting to her audience. So sometimes with these presidential candidates and public figures, we get really easy examples of how this dynamic can show up. And in this case, how these two cards can play out together.
Yeah, and the Queen is a complicated card because it has so much to offer.
It does.
And yet it can be overwhelming.
Well, it's a very powerful energy, and it's leading by her own example. And the Queen of Spades, the Queen of Consciousness, would mean having the vision and the willpower to get it done. You know, so in that sense, just from the cards, not from any political alliances, Hillary Clinton would have probably made a great president, but she didn't know how to connect to her audience emotionally. And that was, again, the knock on her. So if I had been her presidential advisor, I would have told her to be much more vulnerable and open and not following any script.
Interesting. So the Eight of Hearts with the Six of Spades means what?
Well, the Six of Spades as a persona, the Six is a psychic energy. It's symbolically, it's the two straight lines. It's like having a channel. And Spades, again, it's consciousness, vision, imagination. So the Six of Spades is, in layman's terms, it's like psychic energy. It's being able to download whatever you want and having direct access to other dimensions of consciousness. If it's your personality card, that means you lead with that. That means when people first encounter you, that's what they would experience about you, that you're tuned in, that you're aware. But also you can be a workaholic, because that's the other side of the spade energy. You can be a visionary, but you could be a workaholic at the same time.
Interesting. I don't know how to interpret being an alcoholic from the spade suit.
Oh, being an alcoholic?
No, what I mean is being
a workaholic.
To work too hard.
No, well, the spade energy is what we dream and what we do. And what happens often, unfortunately, for people with that spade energy is that they're disconnected from their own dreams, their own vision, their own imagination. So then they're stuck kind of just laboring and toiling away for a mediocre small vision, like soldiering on in the trenches to do what their boss told them to do or to do the obligations they think they should do, rather than dreaming bigger and putting their tremendous willpower and work ethic toward a bigger vision.
Well, so I would imagine the Eight of Hearts would create that.
That's right. So in this combination of an Eight of Hearts, Six of Spades, this person would be best served to live from their passion. Passion.
Right.
You know, and so then this is a good example or a good segue into what I've sometimes seen in my practice too. Let's say somebody's birth card is a club, which is the mind, as you pointed out. And it's even more pronounced if their personality card is a club as well. And let's say they're very into spirituality and new age ideas. I'll say to them, one of the first things I'll say to them is, you're not a heart-based person, because they're double club. They have club and club energy. And they may chuckle and they'll laugh and be like, yeah, I never understood that. I'd be sitting in these new age workshops with everyone telling me to be heart focused and heart based. And I never understood what they were talking about. I'm like, yes, because you're not a heart based person. You're a mind based person. You operate through your mental energy. And that's
fascinating. Yeah. I can understand that because, there are different personalities that we meet in these, workshops or wherever that are all about heart. And you just see them playing out the heart. And it's like, I certainly care about you people. You're wonderful. I have a good heart about you, but I'm not playing it out the same way.
Well, that's right. And this is another reason why I love this knowledge, is that it helps to clarify each person's authentic way of living. I mean, as a soul, we chose these cards to play to have this experience. And so then it helps us to get away from this one size fits all kind of self-help talk.
It's amazing. And I learned that years ago with human design.
Yeah.
And if astrology, when we understand that everybody has a different roadmap, and yet they're being given directions by somebody else's roadmap.
That's right. Yeah. And I find it really fascinating. Like, take the popular TV show Shark Tank, which Vicky and I used to watch a lot. We love that show. And I would listen to these, quote, sharks on the show talk about how hard work and determination is what got them to success. And then we would look up their cards to play, and they're born to play like a King of Diamonds or an Eight of Diamonds or Ten of Diamonds, these cards for whom financial success comes easily. And I'm thinking to myself, they're crediting their own hard work, but actually they don't recognize that they have these cards to play of financial success in life.
Right. And it's hard to advise somebody to be financially successful when they're not playing a diamond card.
That's right. And they're wrongly ascribing their own success to hard work. But there are plenty of people who work hard that don't become multimillionaires.
Right. That, this is why it's so important to talk about all this, because so many people aspire to different goals in life that don't work out.
Right.
And why don't they work out? Because they're doing everything that they've taken workshops in, and they're schooled in it, they have degrees in it, and somehow they just can't get it going. So what is it that is in the way of that? Is that they need to learn their cards and understand what the cards are pointing to.
Well, that's right. They may be trying to get goals that aren't theirs to get.
Yeah.
They may be following a prescription they heard from their parents or their religion, et cetera. And that's not their roadmap. It's not their life path.
I remember years ago when there was a movie, The Secret, I guess there was a book, and there were all these workshops and how to manifest. And they said, all you have to do is want something, you can have it. And I taught a workshop in it. And I said to everybody, yeah, you can have exactly what you want as long as you're designed for it.
Right.
And if you're not, and so you better find out what you're designed for.
Well, that's right. And it's like changing our tastes in food also. We may crave things to eat that are actually bad for our health.
Right. I remember one time I was advising an elite athlete, a woman who was from, I forget which Asian country, I think Japan. And she was in Italy and she wasn't doing well. And I said, well, what are you eating? She said, oh, well, when in Italy, do what the Italians do. And I said, well, guess what? I think you need to eat Japanese food. And so she changed and started to eat Japanese food. And all of a sudden, she was healthy again.
Yes.
And so we have to honor that in ourselves. It's what is right.
Exactly. And
it's so hard to be around people who try to tell us what is right. Like friends don't let friends eat meat. It's like, and there are people who really thrive on meat and need it.
Well, we in our household, the four of us, with Vicky and I and our two children, we all four of us eat different things. It's a little challenging at times at night. We make a joke that we live in a diner, but we honor each other's dietary needs. And so we eat slightly different meals at night, each of us.
But it's good that you know that.
It is good. And we've found a way to navigate it. But we very often will have four different meals at the same dinner table.
Yeah, my wife and I are like that too. Yeah. And our kids have their own, they don't live with us anymore. So you know, they're on their own. But let's what other card would you like to look at?
Well, the combination is very interesting. And I think where we left off last time, we were talking about what happens if someone has a king card as their birth card, but then they maybe have a lower number as their personality card. And what I've often seen in that case, again, because people can over-identify with the personality card, it gets socially reinforced. And then the people who are born to be leaders, to be kings, they don't step up to that leadership role. They stay in the lower number of the personality card. So that's a common theme and problem and challenge for people with that.
But it doesn't mean a lower card, you can't be a leader. Like my wife is a leader and she's a two.
Yep. Well, it's interesting. Her birth card is the Two of Clubs. The Mercury card, which is the mindset of the Two of Clubs, is the King of Clubs. So she has the mindset of a leader.
Yeah, I never looked at that particular card in her hand.
And you bring up a really good point. I want to emphasize that I'm not saying that the lower number cards are worse. They just have different roles to play. Like a two is a connector. And a three is more of a creative energy, for example. A four is an organizer. A five is a catalyst. A six is like an umpire, referee. So there's different roles to play. And the kings are here with a mantle of leadership. And they just are. And I remember I was really disappointed when I found out that my birth card was only a nine and not the king. I wanted to be the king. The more I work with people born to play the king, I'm like, oh, thank goodness I don't have that responsibility. Right. You know, it's a different level of responsibility.
Well, being a king is a slippery slope.
Yeah, and the crown weighs heavy.
Exactly. So that's important to know that. And all the more reason why people should become familiar with the whole deck of cards and understand how they're playing out, because I think it's important to not only know your own cards, but to know all the people you're in close relationship with.
It's so helpful as a parent, and it's extremely helpful to know my kids' cards to play. And then for Vicky and I in our romantic relationship, it comes up often where we talk about it. Oh, you're playing this card and that's why, and this is happening and this dynamic is going on. As you mentioned earlier, it gives us a window to see into these patterns.
Yeah, and so you can become so much smarter about yourself and each other. And that's the point, I think, is to become adept at life by this information.
That's right. And we don't take it personally. We see that these are patterns. These are patterns in play. This isn't something that's personal. And so that helps to create that space of mindfulness and awareness, which I like what you're saying about becoming an adept. That's right. Mastering the game of life.
But what you say about it's not personal, yet these are personal cards, but they're cards that our soul has chosen for its purpose, and we can't do anything about it except be better at living it.
Well, that's right. From a personal level, for our own cards, yes. But when my wife acts a certain way, I could, if I didn't know that she's playing a five of diamonds, queen of spades, I could potentially very easily take it personally of, oh, why is she doing that? Blah, blah, blah. But instead of taking it personally or getting disgruntled or offended in my better moments, I can see, oh, she's just playing her cards.
I love it. I know. I do that with my wife too, that she's, she's behaving according to her cards.
Yeah.
I go, I just roll my eyes and I go, okay, you have your cards, I have mine.
So that's what I mean about not taking it personally, not getting personally affronted or offended that this person is behaving this way. They're just playing their cards. It's not because of me. They're going through their own process of playing out their own cards.
Right. So all the more reason to get a handle on it.
Yep. If we want happiness in our relationships, you know.
Oh, who wants happiness anyway?
If we want peace and harmony in our home, if we don't want to fight about things all the time, then yeah.
Right, exactly.
Your cards.
No, but it's interesting that there are people who really have, you know, dark energies that are looking for trouble all the time.
Can be. Yeah, I think there's, you know, I see that in myself. We have different variations of that. Mine play out through my cards to play. The Nine of Hearts playing a victim. And then my personality card of the Seven of Clubs is being really critical. I can get really critical of myself or my beloved wife. So that's a way in which my own dark energy can show up, my own sabotaging energy.
Now, I want to look at the seven with you. We don't have a lot of time left. But I want to understand, because the seven, because it's so critical, because the seven can go up or down. If yeah. you look at the seven card itself, the middle, you know, symbol is, can you can turn the card over and it's on top, and then turn it over again, it's on bottom. And so you always worry about which way it's being played. And so therefore you try to stay on top of it by trying to be as critical as possible of how you're playing it.
Well, the seven is unique among all the cards in that it's the only number that's symbolically represented in an asymmetrical pattern. And it's the most unstable of all the numbers, of all the energy frequencies. It flips back and forth. Now, the positive side of that is the ability to quickly pivot and quickly adjust, to quickly adapt to any situation, to quickly redirect. But the downside is that you can just as easily flip negatively, just as easily flip into a worst case scenario thinking.
Right. But if you know the language of it, then you know to flip it as high as you can, as much as you can.
Oh, well, if you can.
Yeah. Right.
It took me a long time, and I still have my moments, but it took me a long time to recognize that and to not get spiraled out by my own self-judgments.
Right. And so that's why, one of the reasons why you're driven to be a card expert.
Well, that's right. It was so helpful for me to learn that I have double odd number, Nine of Hearts, Seven of Clubs. And so there's been a lot of emotional ups and downs in my life and a lot of mental instability. But then there's also been wonderful highs and finding the meaning of the playing cards and having these fantastic aha moments, the Seven of Clubs of knowledge. So there's the upside of that as well.
Yeah, it's great talking with you. So we're getting right near the end of the show. And it's always occasional to hear from you. And I can, you know, we can all live our lives better. And I'm excited every time I talk with you how I can live my life better.
Thank you, Peter.
And appreciate others better too. So this is wonderful. So again, people can go to thesourcecards.com and get their cards and even put in birth dates of friends,
yep,
family, and what a resource. It's wonderful. So thank you so much for
my pleasure, Peter. Thank you for helping to spread the word and share the message.
Oh, I'm so happy to. So, Alexander Dunlop, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.